You're listening to Defending the Biblical Roots of Christianity, an apologetics and theology podcast hosted by Professor R.L. Solberg. For more information about our ministry, visit thebiblicalroots.org.
I recently appeared on a talk show called Tanakh Talk, which is hosted by an ex-Christian preacher who left Jesus to embrace Judaism. And they were kind enough to ask me on to share the Christian perspective on a really interesting question. And I'll link to the actual interview below, but I thought it might be helpful if I shared my answer here on my own channel as well, because some of you might be wondering the same thing. Now, the question was put to me by a Jewish friend who doesn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But I've heard similar questions from Christians as well. And by the way, I have to give credit where credit's due. A big part of my answer came from an article by Chad Bird, which I'll link to below. In fact, all the smart stuff I said came from him. Okay, so here's the question I was asked. What Hebrew scriptures are Jesus and Paul quoting when they tell us that the prophets foretold that the Messiah would die, be dead for 3 days, and rise from the grave? So, Abraham Lincoln famously said, "If I only had an hour to chop down a tree, I'd spend the first 45 minutes sharpening my axe." So, let me take a couple minutes up front to sharpen the proverbial axe by establishing an accurate framework for understanding the Christian perspective. And then I'm going to give you a very direct answer to that question. So, Jews and Christians both believe that the Tanakh is the inspired word of God, and it's scripture, and it's true. But there is a fundamental difference in how we read it. Do you remember the movie The Sixth Sense? It came out like 20 years ago. Well, in this movie, this young boy is having really scary visions, and so his mom hires this psychologist, played by Bruce Willis, to help him out, right? And throughout the film, he and the psychologist are interacting and working on his issue. And then near the end of the movie, there's this mind-blowing revelation. You see it in the trailers for the film. Remember that? The little boy, played by Haley Joel Osment, he looks at the camera, tears in his eyes, and he says,
"I see dead people."
And no one saw this coming, right? It was this revelation out of the blue, and you're suddenly asking yourself, what? That guy was dead the whole time? And what's interesting is that if you then watch the movie again, which I did, now knowing that the psychologist was dead the whole time, you notice all these clues that were sitting there in plain sight, you just didn't realize what they meant. For example, when the psychologist's wife is being really cold and distant while they're standing next to each other, you now realize, oh, she wasn't angry or ignoring him, she just couldn't see him because he's dead. And here's the thing. The revelation at the end of the movie doesn't make the first part of the movie untrue or change its meaning. In a sense, it actually makes it more true. Knowing the psychologist was actually dead allows you to understand what was really going on. And the same thing is true about Jesus. He is the revelation that allows us to understand this deeper level of what's going on in the Tanakh. He doesn't change anything. He makes it even more true. So when we go back and read the Tanakh with the knowledge that Jesus was the promised Messiah, we begin to notice all these clues that have been sitting there for centuries. And this is just the intertextuality that the rabbis taught us, right? Every book of the Bible connects with prior writings and revelation, and they echo and comment and build on what came before, right? I mean, a common theme in early rabbinic literature, Shemot Rabbah is a great example, is that when God gave Moses the Torah, it implicitly contained every idea that would be later voiced by the prophets and the sages, and as Christians believe, by Jesus and the apostles and the New Testament authors. So, for example, the book of Joshua not only follows Deuteronomy, it interprets it. And Isaiah interprets Joshua, and so on, all the way into the New Testament, which in turn echoes and comments on and interprets the Tanakh. So with that in mind, let me directly address the question you asked. So from the Christian perspective, in light of the revelation of Jesus, we see the death and resurrection of the Messiah spoken of in Isaiah 53, 8 through 10, which prophesied that he would, quote, be cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, when his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. Now, if you're asking for a passage that contains an explicit prediction that the Messiah will rise from the dead on the third day, well, as far as I know, there are none. However, as the rabbis and sages teach us, the Tanakh communicates truth in many more ways than just explicit predictions. It also speaks and teaches through symbolism and typology and poetry and narrative patterns and thematic development and metaphors and personification and so on. And guess what? In the Tanakh, there is a clear pattern of God doing redemptive and even resurrection things on the third day. Let me give you four quick examples. Genesis 22 reveals that God spared Isaac on the third day, right? And where God brought Isaac back from the dead on the third day in a figurative way, he would later bring Jesus back from the dead on the third day in a literal way. So Isaac prefigured the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus. Or here's another example. How about the greatest manifestation of God's presence in the entire Tanakh, when the Lord descended on Mount Sinai? Exodus 19:11 says, for on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in sight of all the people. And we also see the raising of Israel on the third day. In Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, he describes the regathering of God's people from Babylon as a type of resurrection, right? Ezekiel 37:12, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. That's resurrection language. And Hosea 6, verse 2, describes the time frame of that resurrection. It says, on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. And lastly, there's the big one, the connection that Jesus himself explicitly made. So in Matthew 12, verse 40, he says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So just as Jonah was figuratively released from his watery grave on the third day, Jesus walked out of the grave in a literal way on the third day. And just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, Jesus became a sign to his generation. So that's sort of a way into understanding how Christians who accept the revelation of Jesus as the Messiah see the Tanakh's teaching about the Messiah being fulfilled in him, right? And for those first century Jews who were steeped in the Tanakh, the disciples and the apostles, I believe these were the pearls that Rabbi Yeshua, Jesus, was stringing together when he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, as it says in Luke 24.